So I feel as though Pastor Fred, he always comes up here and he starts about a joke from a family that just happens to come from Huntersville. And I was, you know, flipping through the newspaper as I always do. And I just happened to find one of the articles about the families from Huntersville. So this family, the parents had jobs and the two kids, they had time-consuming hobbies. And so one day, while they were out of town, the parents sat the kids down. They go, you know, we need to talk to you guys about how you can be better children. You know, respecting your parents and putting 110% in everything. And so the kids, in response to this wonderful speech, started taking out their phones and taking selfies of themselves. And I was actually able to talk to the editor of this article, and I got one of the selfies. Niall, you can put it up there. It's the next slide. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so phones. They are the revolutionary technology of the century. These little boxes of information allow us to, you know, connect with people around the world. And we communicate with them. And communication is really a big thing in the human race. We talk, we use facial expressions, gestures. But recently, the only way we communicate is texting. Teens don't really talk because it's just kind of the possibility that we might humiliate ourselves in front of someone that may or may not be important. And so we just text and get our little keyboard and tap, tap, and then boom, we've got a nice, quick communication style. And, you know, everyone has their unique texting style. Like, I use a lot of capital letters when I want to get a point across. And some people use a lot of emojis, etc. And everyone does their different things. And there's actually a video, so Niall, if you could go to that video.
So I went up to my crush and I was like, hey, I really do like you. And she's totally just denying me, but I don't know if she meant like, hey, like, I like you, or if she just denied me because she doesn't like me. Like, what, I don't know, like, what do you think? No, no, don't say your opinion. I think she likes me.
Okay, so as you see, we do things over text that we would really never dare to do in real life. So many things happen over texting, whether on social media or not. People have fake relationships, people break up with each other, cyberbullying happens. We do it so naturally, I realize, and what happens in the texting realm stays in the texting realm, because no one's there to stop us. And I realized something that could be put into this exact same situation. is that we do things in church that we would never, ever do or say outside of church. And think about that. Let me just start by saying that I'm like 100% guilty to the following things, and don't think that I'm exempting myself from this criteria. So do you often see people praying openly? Maybe not praying, but openly expressing their religion in their day-to-day activities? Probably not. So let me put it to you this way, and again, remember, I'm this person also. So Sunday is God's day. We wake up, we've got the whole God mentality, we're going to church, and we got our hands up in the air, we're praising the Lord because life is great, and it's just everything is good. We go home, we've got lunch, then we go to youth group, and everything is great, and then you go home, you have dinner, you get that 20-minute long prayer because everything is working out for you, and then, but then you go to bed, and you take off your Jesus personality and you put it on your dresser, and then it sits there and collects dust for the next 6 days until you use it again that next Sunday. So why do we do that exactly? Because we know exactly what we have to do. We've heard it again and again, and that's a big thing in organic outreach. It's, you know, acting in church how you were acting outside of church exactly how you would inside of church. And I'd like to say, yeah, I totally do that, but the thing is, I honestly don't. I'm not the same person on Sundays as I am on every other day of the week, because just like some of you guys out there, I take off my Sunday outfit, too, and I only wear it on Sundays. But luckily, because I've grown older, both physically and spiritually, I can confidently say that some days I wear my Sunday socks. I've got a little Jesus motivation going on, but it's like nowhere near what it is on Sundays, and that's something we need to know. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, if you go one slide, it says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Or in simpler words, you must worship Christ the Lord, Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. As I said earlier, we all know this. It's simple stuff. But as the expression goes, it's easier said than done. But why do we not do what we know we should do? Because I think that most of us are afraid to say it, and that's me too. But we're afraid of what other people will think of us. We're afraid that those who we are attached to, that they might start looking at us differently or acting differently around us. And God's over here going, I don't care. I don't care what they think, and quite frankly, I don't care what you think that they think. And so he doesn't want you to be worrying about what they're saying. So if you continue to read verse 16, which is the next slide, it says, "Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Or in other words, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." So, to be honest, this verse kind of changed my life, because we never read the second verses. We never, you know, look at the other side of things or go out of our way to see if there's more. And this verse is an example. You know, verse 15 says, yeah, speak the Lord, man, but once reading that, we don't really change anything, because as spoken earlier, we don't want people to look at us differently, and we don't want anything to do with the change, because that verse doesn't help us, and we've heard it over and over again, and we've read it over and over again. But very few would continue to read that second verse. That second line gives us an extra step. The first one just gives us a little step. You know, it tells us we can stay faithful, and we don't need to do anything special. We just need to be honest with ourselves and honest with others. But when it comes down to us, God has given us an amazing life, and there's no reason why we shouldn't share it with others. And so we always need to read that verse too, to give us that extra motivation. So whenever I listen to sermons, sometimes at the end, they'll sort of tell me what to do. And I've realized that that doesn't often work for me, because most of the time, the speaker's life is much more different than mine. They're a lot more physically mature, mentally mature, and a lot more spiritually mature. They've been through things, and they've learned what they've needed, and I wasn't at that level yet, and so I couldn't take out of it what I knew I needed to get out of that sermon. So today, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm instead going to leave you with an analogy, and this analogy, you can interpret it any way that you want. I just want you to be able to bring this analogy into your life whenever you need it. whatever path is going on, whatever spiritual level you're on, whatever situation that is going on right now. I'm not going to tell you how to take it in. I'm not even telling you that you have to take it in. I just want you to take it in however you need to at this moment. So verse 1 places this rock, or any rock, on top of a giant hill. But the rock does nothing. It has so much potential, but nothing happens. And then verse 2 comes along and it gives the rock a little tap, and the rock can start rolling. It can start rolling down a large hill, and this hill is full of opportunities and chances and places to grow. I mean, sometimes the push doesn't do it. Sometimes 3, 4, maybe even 5 pushes are needed to get the rock on its path. And you might be thinking, well, if the rock is oddly shaped and, you know, it might like land on a certain side and it'll like never continue rolling, it'll stop forever. Well, yes, rocks are oddly shaped, and sometimes they have weird sides and sizes, and they're all unique and sometimes very odd looking. But as the rock travels down the hill, something happens. The rock starts to change. With every bump that the rock encounters, the shard is taken off. It encounters a countless amount of bumps, but with every bump, the rock gets more smooth. It gets more round. The more troubles that the rock encounters, the more mistakes that comes along the way, the more misfortunes that happens, it changes the rock. It molds the rock. The rock begins to become more smooth. It becomes more round. And with that, the rock has a more peaceful and swift travel down the mountain. But that's not because the rock never encounters trouble anymore. It's simply because the rock has been through the issues, and it knows exactly what's going on, and it can just, boom, done, it's over with. And the rock probably will end up turning into more of a marble/pebble type thing, and it'll reach the bottom of the mountain, and it'll land in a nice river or lake. And life, I guess it'll be pretty great for that rock, because that little pebble will be able to look at that big, scary mountain, just look at that giant mountain, and say, it all started with a little tap. Thank you.